In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Sunday. That's why you got to sing that hymn to open things up once a year. It's good, right? Amen. There's so much good in it. People are like, why don't we cut some verses out? I'm like, have you read them all? Which one do you not want? They're all good. And it's a little confusing to us. But it's okay. If you got a little uncomfortable, join the club. I was a little uncomfortable going in, but you know, once we started singing it and I remembered the depth of the hymn, I was like, you know, this is good. You just can't stop. Sometimes we just get to move with how things are moving. Amen? We think about it too much, and we may not move at all. Because the things that stop us are not the things of the Spirit, but the things of the flesh. So we overcome the flesh just to start out on Trinity Sunday. Excellent plan, I think. I'm glad Matt thought it through. One of us is planning anyway. So we come to this day, and it's not a coincidence that this is happening after Pentecost. We have heard this amazing story last week of the Spirit of God being breathed out on all people. And then we kind of flash back to this moment that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And if you thought you were confused about how the Spirit of God moves, well, it seems we're in good company. So here's Nicodemus, does something very interesting. He says, now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He was a leader, a Pharisee, a keeper of the faith, a keeper of the law. And he came to him by night because, well, probably didn't want to get caught talking to Jesus to some level. Or maybe he just wanted to catch Jesus alone so he didn't have all the crowds around him. And he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was the very presence of God. He came to him and acknowledged that fact. There was something unique about Jesus. There was something unique about the way he moved and the way he taught, the way he healed, the way he was. And Nicodemus came and he immediately recognized that. And all these years, I thought, I always saw Jesus sort of being more accusing towards Nicodemus. And he's actually being very supportive. Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, didn't Nicodemus just say that he recognized the glory of God? So Jesus is saying, yeah, very truly I tell you. Yeah, you get it. You saw it. You understand it. And Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter the womb a second time and be born again? And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. This conversation that started out very nice has suddenly become very confusing. When we begin to speak about the Spirit of God, it becomes very confusing because here's the struggle. When you move by the Spirit of God, it doesn't make sense in our worldly understanding. We don't really grasp it. So verse 6, I think, is helpful. As soon as my eyes can focus on those little numbers. There we go. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. I mean, that settles it, right? Or does it? Well, it really does. So if we hear about the flesh is a term used to recognize the weakness of humanity. Spirit is the Spirit of God. So whatever you can come up with, brothers and sisters, on your own, out of your own flesh, is not likely to be spirit. See, the things of the spirit are the things that come to you and the way in which you move and you think, I don't know if I should be doing this, assuming it's a good thing. Now, if it's a bad thing, that may be the Spirit of God that's making you question. But when you are being challenged to step out to share the goodness of God, to share the glory of God, to reach out in mission and witness so that others will come to know and so you can point them to Jesus, and you step back and you say, let me think about it. See, that hesitation is the flesh. But we're good. And if you're a good evangelical Christian, of course, you have a better line that you can use that just excuses you right away when somebody comes to ask you something difficult. And let me know if this isn't true for you. When you know in your heart, the depth of your very soul, that God is calling out to you to do something bold, and someone brings it to you and it just sinks in. Do you know what I mean? It just sort of hits you and you're like, and then we say something very, very nice that gets us off the hook. Let me pray about it. So just so you know, anytime I've been tempted to say, let me pray about it, what I'm saying is, oh my gosh, I think you're right. I should probably say yes to this. So just so you know, if I ask you to do something, you say, let me pray about it. I'm going to say, oh, of course, and I'm going to walk away and go, it's either a yes or a no at this point. They have already been called. Otherwise, you wouldn't have thought about it. We have to hear and listen to how God is moving. And this is the lesson that Jesus is trying to give to Nicodemus, who initially, by the way, seemed to understand. He could see how Jesus had been moving and how he could only do that by the very presence of God. And that's all any of us can do, by the way, is move by the very presence of God. And in this time, this first Sunday after Pentecost, where we heard the story of when the presence of God was breathed into all people, it's a good reminder that that instruction sounds glorious, but the living it out can be just a little confusing. We may think we have it, and then we don't. And then we get caught in this concept of the flesh and the spirit, and it can get very difficult. But that's what's happening here. Nicodemus is finding his way through it, and Jesus is pushing it forward for him. And then he goes to explain, Jesus goes to explain to Nicodemus that, you know, the spirit, and I'll paraphrase for you, the spirit moves however the spirit moves, just like the wind. And you don't question the wind, but yet you question the spirit. Maybe we should just follow the Spirit and accept the movement of the Spirit the way in which we accept the movement of the wind. And that's sometimes more difficult than others. Especially if you're on a bike ride and it seems like you're in the headwind all the time. Which happened recently to me and Susan. Every time we turned a corner, the wind was in our face. How is this even possible? I was beginning to think maybe God didn't want us to do it. But the fact is, we got to be open to the concept. We got to hear what Jesus is saying, and we got to understand that there's a moment, brothers and sisters, where we recognize we are different because of the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. And although we are Episcopalian, we do understand the term born again, amen? Do we have any born again Christians here this morning? There were more at 8 o'clock, I'm not going to lie. It's a scary phrase, isn't it? Because we've been trained to think of it as frightening. Because the world said it is. Because it made people nervous. My wife and I had a glorious, I already threw her under the bus, so I think I'm safe. We had this wonderful encounter with the risen Lord at this point in our lives, and she was sharing it with a close family member, and she said to that family member, I know what it means to be born again Christian. And the family member went, don't tell your dad. Because that was not an acceptable way to be. In fact, early on in the Western Christian church, those who engaged with the power of the Spirit and were overcome by the power of the Spirit in worship and would find themselves falling on the floor or doing things that happen sometimes in an ecstatic connection with the power of God, they were so peculiar to the world, they called them shakers. You ever heard of them? Yeah, I had a conversation with my own mother at one point about my faith, and she goes, what are you, one of those holy rollers now? Now, I have to tell you, there's a time in my life that would have horrified me. She said that, and I'm thinking, man, I hope so. Man, I want to be that. I want to hear that. I want to know that people are seeing something in me that's not of me. They are seeing God moving, just as Nicodemus could recognize God moving as Jesus, God incarnate, stood before him. By the Holy Spirit, his church, us, can move in such a way that everyone can see God, not you. So when your flesh starts saying, people are looking at you, Don't be so full of yourself. Maybe they're looking and seeing Jesus moving through you. And as Episcopalians, we know this well, right? Why is everybody sitting, not you all, of course, why is everybody sitting in the back? Especially if you're in a new Episcopal church you haven't been to. You got to see what everybody else is going to do. When are they going to stand? Are they going to kneel? Are they going to stand? Are they going to, are they crossing themselves? Are they bowing? They're trying to pay attention to what's going on. And I'd say this, worship. Just worship. You're in the presence of God. Why? Because he came with you. And we can just move in that. And if the Spirit moves you to lift your hand, lift your hand. If the Spirit moves you to kneel, kneel. If the Spirit moves you to lay out on the floor, well, lay out on the floor, but give us a little bit of a heads up. We're older. Yeah, we're going to check on you, but if you're good, well, if your vitals are good, we'll leave you. But you got to be sure, don't you? But let's just, what if we just move that way? What if we just allowed ourselves to be born of the Spirit in such a way that we weren't hindered by our flesh, where we could just move in such a way that people would begin to see the glory of God through his church? What an incredible world this would be. In fact, isn't that exactly the world God desires? And here's the good news and the bad news, brothers and sisters. God is going to have his way. We should make a decision. Do we want to get on board with what he is doing now? Or do we want to live in the fear that someone might see us do it and just sneak to him at night or early on a Sunday morning so we can get back and, you know, engage with those people who don't go to church on Sunday? What if we just moved with the Spirit and see what God can really do? And when Nicodemus hears how the Spirit moves, he responds, "How can these things be?" Well, it seems just a few verses ago, he was very clear that it was by the presence of God. And now, because it felt maybe a little uncomfortable, he's saying, "How can these things be?" Well, they can be because the Spirit of God is moving, hasn't changed. He's called us to it and given us opportunity through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ to be participants in what he's doing. And why does it matter, you might ask? And after Jesus explains to Nicodemus, it doesn't matter what we say to you, you don't seem to catch it fully, whether it has to do with things of the world or things of above, and certainly why should I bother anymore telling you so much more information that you don't grasp and don't listen to? Stick with your law if you got to stick with your law, or move with the Spirit if you want to move with the Spirit. He goes, verse 16, one famous to all of us, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Now, I'd never want to hear that verse alone, because 17 just backs it up and brings it to its fullness, where it says, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And the world is going to be saved through him, just as Nicodemus was drawn to go speak with Jesus in the night because something stirred in his soul that he recognized the very presence of God in Jesus Christ. And he couldn't keep himself from going, even when those around him, those he met with, the other keepers of the law, were having conversations of how to get rid of him. He went to see him. That was dangerous. See, this is the problem. Moving by the Spirit can be dangerous, and sometimes, just like Nicodemus, when we find out we're moving by the Spirit and it feels dangerous, we sort of step back and go, "Whoa, whoa, how can this be?" The flesh rises up, amen? Which is why we need to be born again, so that that old flesh can die and the new power of God can live in and just be within the fullness of who we are at the very depth of our soul, so that we can continue to move by his power and not our fearful flesh. Why? Verse 16, "So that everyone who believes in him may not perish." Look around you, brothers and sisters. The world is perishing. Don't panic. This was part of the plan. If you're unaware of that, I will recommend that you move to the back of the book, to a little book called Revelation. The revelation is this world is coming to an end at some point in God's time. The world is perishing. It just is. But there will be a new heaven, and there will be a new earth, and Jesus will reign forever in that time. It will be the very kingdom of God. That is what the mission is, to understand first and then to go forth and share the very truth that Jesus is going to reign in his kingdom, whether we're with him or not. That becomes a choice. So why is it so important for us who are proclaiming to be born-again Christians, living by the very Spirit of God, to move by the Spirit of God, even in those moments when we don't understand it and we're thinking, no, I don't know how this could be. Well, you're right, you don't know, so move anyway. So the fact of the matter is, if we continue to move that way, the world will come to know, because they will see the presence of God in his church, amen? And when the world sees the presence of God in his church, the world will be, what's our favorite word here? Transformed, amen. So see, somebody check the website. Transforming lives, transforming the world. Guess whose life gets transformed first? Yours. Those of you who raised your hands, the rest of you are getting smarter. Don't raise your hand when he asks you to raise your hand. I know better. How do I know? Because I can see the Spirit of God moving in you. I can sense the Spirit of God moving in this community. All you have to do is look around you, and if you can't see it, come stand in it, because then you're going to feel it, amen? In a time when the world was proving out its death toll being rung through the past year plus, this church continues to thrive and grow. Why? Because it's his. It's his church, and we are his. And the power of God is present in us because we are allowing the Spirit to overcome the flesh. Amen? We are being born of the Spirit individually and corporately right here in Holy Innocence for the betterment of the kingdom of God and the growth of the kingdom of God and to the fullness and the glory of God himself. Amen? Not us, him. It matters. We even talked about it a little bit last week. Over half of the people in this country are perishing with this world. For one reason only. They do not know Jesus. Someone is just now offended that I said that. If I want to live in the flesh, I won't say things like that. If I want to live in the Spirit, I tell you the truth, brothers and sisters. I tell you the truth. Listen to the words of Jesus. We either believe or we do not. We are either in alignment with God's will or we are not. The world is perishing. Many are perishing with it. If you are not perishing, be a witness. If you think you are perishing, run to Jesus. If you don't know how to find him, you saw the people who raised their hands, run to them and let them be a witness to you so that you can come to know the truth. God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that we would not perish but have eternal life. That eternal life that it is offering is not a condemnation of the person. It is available to all who hear and all who desire to come to a place of leaving behind the emptiness of this world. We can sit quietly if we choose, but we are at a point right now where the world is wondering. The world is wondering. The world is in need. The world is hurting. The world is confused, much like Nicodemus was, and they need truth. They need to hear the the truth, even at the risk of offense, and even if they see us as born-again Christians, holy rollers, the time to witness is now. There has never been a time like it in any of our lifetimes. Things couldn't look any more like the first century did. Will we choose the Spirit, or will you choose the flesh? Amen.